This is the time of year on television when the broadcast networks begin to go into hibernation until January, and even the cable networks are presenting mid-season finales or pivotal episodes of their ongoing drama series. Our TV critic David Biancooley evaluates the paths many of them are taking this season.
By now, I hope my position on spoiler alerts is firmly established. My feeling is that once something has been televised, it's fair game for discussion. I feel it's the responsibility of the person who's delaying his or her enjoyment of a TV show to avoid mentions of it, rather than put the onus on critics. And believe me, I know that's not always easy. I have to do it myself. There are so many good shows presented on Sundays this season, it sometimes takes me the whole week to catch up on the episodes I've recorded. So here's the deal. Many of TV's best shows have just presented significant pivot point episodes that are well worth discussing. These are shows I've reviewed and raved about before. I'm talking about such shows as Dexter, The Walking Dead, and American Horror Story. And if you're up to date on those programs, you know why they deserve the spotlight. If you're behind, though, now's the time to turn down the volume for a bit. Showtime's Dexter just served up the biggest twist of the season to date. All season, we've been following two serial killers working as a team. Professor Geller, a religious zealot played by Edward James Olmos, and his young protege Travis, played by Colin Hanks. In recent episodes, Travis has broken away from Geller and teamed with Dexter to try to catch him. At the end of last week's episode, Dexter found Geller's hideout in an abandoned church and discovered a trap door that led to a basement and an old freezer. Dexter, played by Michael C. Hall, opened the freezer lid, and his voiceover described the surprise he found inside and what it meant.
Geller. He's been dead all along. Did Travis act alone? Did Travis kill all those people?
Yes, he did. And all of a sudden, the entire season of Dexter is flipped on its head and given a sixth sense twist. I went back and looked again at old episodes. And yes, the show played fair with this stunning plot reversal. When Geller was having coffee with Travis at a restaurant, only Travis had a cup in front of him. When Travis and Dexter were out hunting for Geller, only Travis would see him. And so on. And it works. AMC's The Walking Dead, cable TV's highest-rated scripted series, presented its mid-season finale with a game-changer, too. We've known for a few weeks now that Herschel, the owner of the farm on which our heroes have taken refuge, has kept a pack of zombies imprisoned in his barn. He thinks of them as loved ones with a disease. Rick and the others, especially Shane, think of them as monstrous walkers, deserving only of a swift death. So in the mid-season finale, Shane finally rebelled by unlocking the door to the barn so the zombies would attack, leaving no choice but to kill them. It was an emotional bloodbath of a climax, made even more so when it was discovered that the last walker to exit the barn was young Sophia, the girl for whom our heroes had been searching for weeks. Herschel's people had found her as a zombie and locked her in the barn without telling Rick and the others that they were searching in vain. So what's next? I don't know, but I can't wait to find out. A few other series at this point have served up strong twists as well. Showtime's Homeland has identified the POW who was turned by Al-Qaeda. It was Tom Walker, not Carrie's prime suspect Nick Brody. But it looks like Brody may still be in play regardless, as a sort of Manchurian candidate rushed into public office. And on FX's American Horror Story, it was revealed that pregnant Vivian's twins were sired by different fathers, one by a dead evil spirit who had raped her, the other by her husband Ben, played by Dylan McDermott. When Ben learns of the dual paternity, he suspects her of cheating on him and visits her in the hospital where she's been medicated and placed in restraints because she claims she's been attacked by ghosts. Vivian, played by Connie Britton, doesn't speak, but what her husband says to her is as scary as any spirit.
I know you can't carry on a conversation right now. It's okay. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, thank God he's here. Thank God he can see what they're doing to me and how wrong it is. And thank God he's a shrink so he can get me out of here. You're right. You're in hell here. This is no place for my wife. And I'd move heaven and earth for the Vivian I thought I was married to. But you aren't her. You're a stranger to me. You actually pretended, maybe even believed, like a sociopath, that you were some kind of holy saint without sin. While you f***ed all over me. Our life. And our family with betrayal and lies. The way I feel right now, I wouldn't lift a finger to help you get out of here.
Other shows have amped up the action and the emotional stakes, too. The Good Wife on CBS is starting to pull Will and Alicia apart just after getting them together. This season seems so far to be rather aimless, but there's still time for it to find its focus and momentum. HBO's Boardwalk Empire is finding its momentum for the first time after almost two full seasons. As for the other shows I watch regularly, Fox's House and Glee seem to be having off years. Fringe is as inscrutable and interesting as ever. Desperate Housewives, and I may be the only person still watching that show as it lumbers to the finish line like an undead walker, is doing good dramatic stuff with Felicity Huffman as Lynette, but not much else. And ABC's freshman series Once Upon a Time is, so far, so good, giving us one piece of the puzzle at a time in a way that's satisfying, yet leaving us hungry for more. And that's the way it should be. But Once Upon a Time, TV didn't present so many of these good series at once. I'm not complaining, mind you, just exhausted.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of TVWorthWatching.com and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, and Heidi Simon. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.